This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Maurice Jones is with the city of Charlottesville, and he joins me live in studio. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
I'm doing very well.
I like your tie.
Well. Thank you, sir.
Where'd you get that tie?
I think my wife picked it out for me.
They pick out good ties,
don't they?
They
do, indeed. Better than I do, I think.
We have to say congratulations to you on your selection as the interim city manager, I guess, and the designate. You haven't assumed that position yet. Gary is a few weeks out, I guess.
That's
it going to be in April?
April 13th will be my first day as the acting city manager for Charlottesville.
There you go. That's very exciting.
It is very exciting. It's a great challenge and a great honor to be able to step into Gary's shoes for at least for a little while.
See
how things go.
How does that work? Do they the city council launches a nationwide search? And
that's exactly what's going to happen.
Advertises in all the governing magazines?
Exactly. They'll probably bring in a consultant. At least that's where they seem to be leaning right now. Someone who has the experience with doing these types of executive searches, and more specifically for either city managers or county executives throughout the country. And they'll have a request for proposal, an RFP, that will be posted soon. They're working on that right now. And then this is specifically for the headhunter. And then the consultant, they'll submit proposals, and council will go through the proposals, and they'll choose a group to come in and help out with the community input side of things. What is it that council wants out of this? They'll put together a community profile, and then they'll go out and do their job, and they'll go out and recruit folks for the position, and then they'll bring back a number of applicants that the council will consider. And then go from there.
And I guess we would hope that you would toss your name into that hat as well, perhaps. Is that a decision down the road?
That's a decision down the road. I haven't made it a decision on that just yet.
Yeah. Well, it's Gary O'Connell, of course, has served this community with great integrity and dedication for many years, and we've been lucky to have him here, and he's on to new challenges in the spring.
That's true. Heading over to the Albemarle County Service Authority and getting a chance to focus exclusively on some water issues, and I think he's looking forward to that. And you're right. He has served with great integrity. He's been a great mentor for me for the over eight years that I've worked for city government, and we're definitely going to miss him in City Hall.
Yeah. So before we talk about the budget, there's something coming up regarding debris pickup, and this is a special thing because, Maurice, there's a lot of debris out there.
There is a lot of debris out there.
Trees are breaking off left and right out
there. Yeah, obviously we've been kind of punished over the last couple of months or so, and the trees have taken the brunt of the storms, and the city council, the city staff decided a couple of weeks ago to offer free debris pickup, and that starts on Monday morning. And so what we need folks to do is on the day of their normal pickup for trash, is they need to have their debris out there at about 7 o'clock in the morning, because we will be sending trucks through the neighborhoods to pick up debris. So
drag your tree limbs to the curb with the garbage.
Exactly.
On your regular garbage pickup day.
And make sure it's
for city residents.
For city residents, that's correct.
And then a city truck will come along and get those tree limbs and go, what are they going to do, mulch them up again and give away
I do believe that's the case. I don't know for sure, but I think that's what they'll do is find a way to recycle it and use it for other things.
Because they use some of that stuff on playgrounds and walkways, and then other times they give it away as well.
They do, indeed.
Mulch, yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
That's right, exactly.
See, I hit my early 40s and the words don't come as quickly as they used to. You know what I'm talking about?
It's late in the week, too. Give yourself a break.
It's felt like Friday to me all day, and I'm not quite sure why, but it feels like a Friday. We are talking with Maurice Jones on this little Friday, Thursday, February 25th, I believe. I'm Coy Barefoot, and it's 20 minutes before 5 o'clock. Mo, the budget, of course, big issue in the county. Bob Tucker presented his proposal to the county today. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk with Bob tomorrow on this program, and they have their first public hearing next Tuesday night in the county. Mm-hmm. What's the latest on the city's process?
The city will be presenting our budget on Monday night. Gary O'Connell will be presenting for the city. We have obviously we've wrapped up our budget process up to this point. This will be the proposed budget that will go to city council, but we do have it in balance. balance, as we are required by law to do. And then council will take a look at it, and they'll say, you know, they'll put their input into it. And then this will officially begin the process of talking about the budget over the next couple of months or so. We'll have a series of public hearings. We'll have a budget forum. So there'll be plenty of opportunities for the public to be involved. But fortunately, with our budget, we're not looking at any layoffs. We're not looking at cutting any services to the citizens of Charlottesville. So we've actually been pretty fortunate compared to a lot of other places around the country.
So it's not going to be coming in a deficit type of no major cuts or anything like that, like the county's looking at?
Not right now. And you know, I say that because, you know, things could change from the state government. We're just not sure because everything's kind of in flux.
Richmond hasn't decided yet what to do.
Exactly. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is also build in a little bit of cushion into our budget as well, so that we, you know, can take on some of those cuts if need be. And what we're also doing this year, the same way we did last year, is to build in a $2.8 million reserve, an economic downturn fund, as we're calling it, to deal with any further drop in the economy.
So, and what is the total budget usually for the city?
I think
the
operating budget will be about $126 million for next year. And then there will be the capital budget. And then separate from that is the utilities budget, which is about $80 million. But that's the water and gas budget that we have. And of course, that's a pay-for-service, because you pay for your water, you pay for your gas.
And the city, just like the county, will have a number of public hearings scheduled where folks can come down, sound off, contribute their thoughts to this process.
That's correct.
You and I both know that is valued. Contrary to public opinion, it's actually very valued very highly in our community, and you see a lot of resonance on the part of the city council and the board of supervisors with what folks actually think and feel about this issue.
Exactly, and it's vitally important. I mean, we encourage folks to not only do that, not only come to our public hearings, but also to try to attend any other budget forums or work sessions. We have a couple of work sessions throughout the process. And what we started doing last year at our work sessions, typically the work sessions it's an opportunity for the council to talk about specific budget items with our budget team and our city manager. And there's not a lot of back and forth between the public, but what we started doing is at the end of those budget work sessions is that we build in about 15 minutes of time at the end so that anybody from the public who's there can voice their opinion the same way they would during matters by the public at one of our
meetings. So there's a whole bunch of opportunities then.
There are plenty of opportunities. And then outside of that, you can email, you can call in to City Hall and voice your opinions as well. So there are plenty of opportunities for folks to voice their opinion on the budget.
So as of now, what it looks like is the city is not looking at any major cuts or deficits. This is still in flux, as you say. It's still being put together. But in broad strokes here, not in dire straits like some other places in Virginia.
That is correct at this point in time. We'll wait to see what happens on the state level, because there could be more cuts on the way. And unfortunately, we won't really know that. I mean, we'll have some sense of this by the time the council votes on it on April 12th. But quite frankly, we may not know until after our budget is already adopted what some of the cuts will truly be.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That always makes it fun, doesn't it?
And then in that case, we'd have to say, well, is there enough cushion in the budget? Do we have enough built into reserve to absorb those cuts, or do we have to come back and amend the budget? We certainly hope we won't have to come back and amend the budget.
Yeah. We're talking with Maurice Jones of the city of Charlottesville. We're getting news over the last 24 hours that the city and the county have announced that they will indeed sit down and have a conversation in regards to the revenue sharing agreement, which has been making headlines for 20 or 30 years. And I would imagine as the interim city manager that you'll be participating pretty actively in those conversations and at the very least taking notes and involved in those. What is the hope, you think, that might come of this local summit, as it were?
Sure. I certainly can't speak for the council on this at this point, but I think generally the city would like to have a discussion about ways in which the city and the county can collaborate to cause some efficiencies within the two governments and ultimately some savings as well. So when you're talking about that, you're talking about the possibility of consolidating some services. More specifically, you know, I think both of our efficiency studies last year recommended that we look at parks and recreation as a natural area where we could maybe consolidate some services. And other places, they've formed, regional park authorities, that type of thing. So, I'm not saying that that's exactly what we would do, but could we find ways to consolidate those services
save and parks some
and
money, recreation yeah.
and save some money, still providing quality services to the citizens of Charlottesville and Albemarle County. There, a few years ago, there was some discussion and actually a study done on fire consolidation and whether or not that would be good for the area. I think that, you know, those are the types of things that you kind of go back and revisit. And especially now that you're talking about, you know, an economic downturn, you're all of us are you know, watching budgets pretty closely these days. And it seems like a natural time to have a seat and discuss consolidation efforts.
We're talking with Maurice Jones of the city of Charlottesville. It's about 15 minutes before the hour of 5 o'clock. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. Maurice Jones is the incoming interim city manager, acting city manager, starts in April. And we have the timeline now of some of the meetings so sure. folks can make note of this if they want to get involved in the budget process in the city.
Exactly. We mentioned next Monday, the March 1st, we'll be formally presenting the budget to council. They'll have a budget work session on the 10th. March 10th, usually that's in the basement conference room at City Hall. March 15th, the first public hearing on the proposed budget, so that's the first opportunity for folks to come and voice their opinion at a council meeting. And then we'll have a budget forum on the 24th, and the second public hearing on April 5th. And then the council will formally adopt the budget on April 12th.
Is all this on the website?
It is on the website, yes, sir. They can find it at charlottesville.org.
Charlottesville.org, plenty of opportunities. And as far as all the headlines and Rob Bell's bill, and this is just so in the news now. I mean, you just have so many people who are getting really emotional about this issue, this revenue sharing agreement, which is now, you know, like $18 million a year that is transferring from the county into the city, and a great deal of which goes to the schools in the city. What are your thoughts on that? Because that clearly is something that's going to need to be resolved, and it looks like they're resolving it in Richmond before before the folks here locally can resolve it. Hopefully they can do that without resorting to any drastic measures, whatever might be.
I mean, some would argue that the attempt to change the composite index and in essence take some funding from the city and give it to the county is kind of a drastic measure. I mean, you're talking about $2.8 million that would be lost from the city's city school budget. You know, one of the things that's interesting about the revenue sharing agreement, which was obviously agreed to back in the early part of the 80s, it was not just a document that was forged between some folks in the city and some folks in the county. There was also a vote. There was a referendum on it in the county, and 60% of the folks voted in favor of it. One of the things I'd point out is that, you know, there's been some talk about the composite index and whether or not that's fair fair to the county. What's interesting about that is that the composite index has been around for a long time, and it was here back, you know, it was in place back in the early part of the 80s, and it was not included in the agreement, and I'm sure people were aware of it. There was probably a discussion about it. So it's not a new phenomenon. And there's, I think some folks are like, well, this is really unfair, and thinking that, you know, this is something that's new, and it's been around for quite some time.
I'm reading now the history of the revenue sharing agreement. It was a master's thesis, Lindstrom actually, who was on the board, and it's a master's thesis over in Alderman Library, and that has been my nightly reading. I'm reading this master's thesis about the whole behind the scenes story of almost day by day chronicle of the revenue sharing agreement. And what really jumps out at me is the degree to which the county, at many points during the negotiations back in 81, 82, was willing to give away so much more than what they ended up finally agreeing on. I mean, millions more.
Sure.
Land. I mean, all the stuff that they ultimately didn't have to give, what they finally agreed on is pretty small. It's a fraction of what, during the conversation, they were willing to go to the table with. It's really interesting.
And that also shows you the degree to which annexation was real. See, I think folks lose sight of that because we've had this moratorium in place for quite some time. But places like Harrisonburg and other places in the state had recently gone through annexation. Yeah. So it was a real possibility.
Those negotiations between the Charlottesville and Albemarle were being held under the shadow of that recent action in the valley when Harrisonburg took like 14 square miles of all of Rockingham County's commercially developed land.
Right.
They just took it. So, they took it to the courts. The courts said, oh, this is fine. There was nothing the county could do. So that's when Albemarle County was having these discussions, that was their thinking.
Sure.
We're up against a wall here. We don't have any room to negotiate here.
And talking to some of the folks who were at the table on both sides, I mean, they talked about how awful the relationships were between the city and the county at the time. I mean, they were terrible, and folks weren't talking to each other. They weren't willing to sit down. And so, and in the end, once they came to an agreement, it really did allow the two localities to try to find more common ground and other ways to work together. I think knowing the history of it really does, bring a better understanding of why the revenue sharing agreement is in place. You know, one of the other things that I think gets lost in this is if the city had, in fact, annexed the land that they could have annexed as part of that, we estimate that just in the real estate tax alone, it could be in the range of $20 to $25 million that would be coming back to the city these days, because as you know, the growth up Route 29, that corridor, that commercial corridor, that could have gone into the city. Places on Pantops, that could have gone into the city. So when folks start talking about the $18 million, that's a big number. I grant you that.
It's huge.
It's a huge yeah, amount of money. There's
a
no
lot
question
of money. Yeah.
About that. But folks in Albemarle County knew what they were getting themselves into in this process. Did they imagine that one day it would grow to $18 million? Probably not. But what also gets lost in the conversation is that next year, we're probably going to lose $2 million off of that. It's probably going to be about $16 million because it's based on the real estate taxes revenue from a couple of years ago. So the $18 million is kind of at the height of the market. And then obviously things have cooled off quite a bit over the last couple of years.
So it's got to catch up.
So, and we're going to see the numbers continue to drop. So $16 million probably next year. And then, from there on out.
You know what, personally, as a member of this community, what concerns me the most is that we would fall back to that period in the early 80s when there was so much animosity between the city and the county.
Sure.
And there was this real sense that, well, you live in a different community than I do. You're not a member of my community. You live in the city, or vice versa.
Sure.
And I'm so upset with anybody that contributes to that and seems to want that to be the case and tries to feed the flame of this animosity, because that is only going to make things worse.
It sure will.
It doesn't mean that we don't have an issue here that needs to be solved.
Of course.
And there needs to be compromise and all that good stuff and civil debate. But to fan the flames and to take us back 30 years, it's only going to be worse.
Well, we don't need to go there. And I certainly hope that's not where we end up going. And that's the great possibility, because things can spiral out of control pretty quickly, and we don't want that. And I would imagine, I know that the political leaders in Charlottesville and Albemarle County don't want to see that happen as well. I think we truly try to see this as a shared community where we are trying to work together. We do work together on a lot of different issues in providing shared services.
A whole lot more than in 81.
Certainly.
There's been a lot of progress made.
Oh, yeah.
And as you were saying earlier, there's plenty of opportunities out there to do more, whether it's the parks or a fire or some aspects of schools.
Exactly.
We can do more, and we can save money, and it can make this community stronger as a result.
Right. And the thing is that if you look at this as as a crisis, as an opportunity, this is the time when we should be pulling together as two communities and saying, how can we work together to address these issues, these economic issues? We've talked earlier about our budget and how we're doing fairly well for this year. We're concerned about next year. I think we're going to start to have to make some really difficult decisions in the city that you're seeing in other places around the country, unless there's a miraculous economic recovery over the next year or so. But we don't see that happening. And so we're going to have to make some of the same decisions that other folks are making, too. So we realize that this is the time to sit down and start looking at some of those consolidation efforts and whether or not it makes sense for us and whether or not it will save us money. And if it does, it makes sense, and we're still going to provide quality services. Let's do that.
Maurice Jones, he's the incoming acting city manager for the city of Charlottesville, online at charlottesville.org. Thank you so much, Mo. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.